Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
I've been tormenting Nate Buchady with the idea of one of his favorite athletes doing an autograph signing with ADA fundraising. Our good folks with good friends with ADA. And I could be involved, maybe. I could work on getting this gentleman on the air with us on the Border Patrol, but I don't know if Nate would want it. I'll give you one more guess, too. Jake, who do you think it is? Before we go to Jeff Chedia from NFL Network. Who would tickle his fancy most? What former professional athlete?
Oh, former.
Former. Not current, former.
Willie Wilson.
Such a weird guess, but no.
I already guessed Bo Jackson and Matt Beasler.
And you guessed Christian Pulisic.
Christian Pulisic?
No.
Jayhawk basketball player Richard Scott.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you won't be that excited about it if we get him on the show. I'm working on it.
Jeff Boshi.
I don't want to say it because then if we don't get him on the show, you'd be disappointed. But I could certainly get you to meet him.
Hang on. Give me one more guess.
No, it's over. You already guessed it.
I did?
Yeah. You did. Bo Jackson. So
favorite athlete of all time.
I don't know how excited you would be, and that could be happening within a month. So
I could wear my Bo Jackson cross trainer shoes that
now,
I bought.
Now I'm definitely not going to set anything up.
Don't do it.
Let's go to Jeff Chedia now. Jeff Chedia from NFL Network. Would you really?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I would.
Was that appropriate to wear Bo Jackson shoes to meet Bo Jackson? Is that something that you'd sign
I would
off
not
on?
Recommend it. Wow. But. Hey,
for Nate,
is that like wearing the T-shirt of the concert that you're going to?
Do what you want.
Is that like wearing the T-shirt of the concert that you're going to?
No, you got
to
buy the shirt at the concert and then put it on. Like, look, I'm here.
Yeah.
What?
Bo Jackson, I've had some just extremely passionate arguments with any person who's tried to argue anyone as the greatest athlete.
Like
of all
passionate,
time.
Like kissing and
no,
stuff
like screaming
that,
and yelling.
Oh.
Well, you remember me yelling at T.J. Carpenter last year, just. After
right.
his absolutely asinine Bo Jackson comments.
Ooh. Jeff Chedia is in studio. Jeff, there seems to be a groundswell of support from ProFootballTalk.com and Gary Lezak for Patrick Mahomes. Would you like to go ahead and jump on that bandwagon?
Gary Lezak's
right now
pumping Patrick Mahomes?
Yes.
And PFT?
Pro Football, we're not sure. We don't know if Pro Football Talk has recently hired Gary Lezak, right. So it might be the same one.
Is that from play cornerback? Is he
maybe. I'd actually take a look at that.
Can he rush the passer?
Could he?
Is that what he's
going to
do?
I'll take a look at it.
Let's see what he can do.
I'd have it.
I wouldn't recommend that either. I would say that of all the problems his team has right now, quarterback play is not.
He might be able to play nickel.
Not one of them. Yeah, he might.
He could. No, really?
Right. They've run
maybe
through everybody else.
As well as.
It's open auditions
and,
now.
And if you. Let me go ahead and tell you this now. If you have any kind of wide receiver going up against the Chiefs in fantasy football,
start
that is a must start now.
You turned Terrence Williams into a fantasy sensation.
All we heard, this Amari Cooper, he can't catch. He's going out there half-assed and everything. This guy, I don't know that, I bench him.
Whoops.
And then 200 yards, you get the Chiefs.
210.
Terrence Williams is running wild. Cole Beasley's catching multiple touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. You just suit up and go out there, and you got a good shot at making something brilliant happening.
Pretty good guess. Well, Kenneth Acker's not going to be playing.
Why?
Next week.
Here's the,
I just don't understand.
Then answer this one. Why has he been playing?
It's a good question. Good question. I told you guys last week when he came in that the word out of San Francisco was that he was not good in man coverage.
And apparently that was very accurate.
Oh.
I should go home right now.
Yes, you should. Because
it ain't going to get much better than that, Kansas City.
Please.
Drop the mic.
Accurate.
Please go home. I just don't get it, man. I Terrence Mitchell has his moments that frustrate you and everything, but he also has moments where he actually, like, defends the guy. You know, keeps him from catching the ball.
You know, and I'll be honest with them. And watching all those games, I never felt like could Terrence Mitchell be better? Yeah, but I never felt like, well, if they could just get Terrence Mitchell out of the lineup, yeah, then things would be fixed.
Yeah. You wonder what they're looking at, and we have this conversation every week. You wonder. how much they've adjusted to their personnel, because now it's to the point where, okay, you're running through personnel. Results look the same. I'm seeing the same end result out there. It's really baffling because that game, I heard the quote from Andy saying they didn't have the energy in that game. And that's how it felt, you know, watching it. Like, it was just sort of like the Cowboys in that stadium. It's always pretty, you know, pretty lit, you know, pretty vibrant in there. And they were ready. And I felt like the Chiefs were just sort of like, it was like a preseason game through the first half. They got the big play to Tyreek Hill. And I don't know. I think this bye week is going to be big for them as far as coaches going back and looking at what they've been doing. I don't think the sky is falling. This part of the schedule was always going to be difficult. Anybody who looked at this and said this was going to be a cakewalk or they're 5-0 and they're going to roll through this is kidding themselves. There were some tough games in there, two tough road games, a division rival at home, a Steelers team that has their numbers. So I thought they'd be 2-2 after this, and they probably would have been 2-2 if they had beaten the Raiders. They were up on the Raiders, so schedule softens up. There's still a lot to like about this team, but I think what's most alarming, there's two things to me that are really alarming about this team. And this stuff was happening before we got to this point, by the way. I think you could see the issues with the physicality of this team. Every team, that when they were playing the Redskins and the Eagles, even though they were beating those teams, the Chargers, those teams seemed more physical. Those teams were, mm-hmm. were getting it done against them in the trenches. It's just becoming more apparent now that they're losing games. But also, this was happening back when they were winning too. Quarterbacks do not feel uncomfortable against this team. Every time I watch them play somebody, I see quarterbacks standing back there, and they're like, I got like 9 seconds to the football, and I'm going to find somebody to make a play. Even when the play doesn't happen, and they're making guys who aren't that good feel like they're world beaters. Like, Terrence Williams is not a 9-catch, 143-yard receiver.
On 9 targets.
Yeah, exactly. But he thought he was like Odell Beckham Jr. out there the other day. So, you know, that's what the two biggest things that I'd want to see from this team in the second half is, are you going to be more physical, and are you going to start finding ways to make teams feel uncomfortable?
Can you flip a switch and make yourself more physical?
That's
a good question. Is this a finesse football team?
Well, it is a finesse football team, but I think you can be a finesse football team and embrace that. The New England Patriots are a finesse football team. They do well with that. They don't run the ball down people's throats. You know, they had LeGarrette Blount last year doing it, but for the most part, you look at them over the last 10 years, they haven't had a dominant running game. But, you know, one thing that I do, we were joking, you know, and I texted you guys when Travis Kelce caught that touchdown pass, like they ran the play, right?
Mm-hmm. They ran the play. Call for that exact play.
I said, put it in the offense.
How come the Chiefs never run it?
And they ran that play to Kelce. It's like, looked pretty good. Mm-hmm. Something else I want them to see. Cole Beasley is out there making Steven Nelson look like a fool on the goal line. How come they can't get Tyreek Hill in the slot in the red zone? How come they can't motion him more and create more mismatches for him in the middle of the field? It's like they want to act like he's a number one receiver, but what he is a guy who is learning how to be a number one receiver, but also has a skill set that could be used to create other kind of mismatches for you. And they don't do
two
that.
Two catches against the Cowboys.
Yeah, and the point I'm making here is a lot of their running game success in the past, I haven't looked at all the film, but just watching it and seeing what I've seen, a lot of misdirection, a lot of, you know, jet sweep here, shovel pass there, and they were really good at getting defenses flowing a certain way. If I had to guess what their running game problems are, I would probably say defenses have realized, let's stay home. Let's just be disciplined in our assignments. They're going to come to us. You know, let's not get caught up in the eye candy, all the motion and everything else and worrying about this. Let's stay home. And I think what you're seeing is teams taking away that run game, and this team is not built to live on 2nd and 10. It's just not. When they get in 2nd and 10, they can't get to 3rd and 5.
Why are they not built that way?
I think it's partially play calling. I think that they don't – I think we – you know, I know you're a big Chris Conley fan. You're a big DeMarcus Robinson fan. I was never an Albert Wilson fan, but it's a factor. I'm missing him. They're missing those guys. Mm-hmm. I think that they're realizing that we've got our second receiver, our third receiver are not there. Our fourth receiver is still trying to find himself. And right now, this defenses are saying Tyreek Hill is not going to beat us deep, and he's not going to beat us any other way. I mean, you take away that play he had at the end of the half, he would have had, what, one catch for eight yards. Yeah. And he didn't show up against the Steelers either. So teams that are really more aggressive defensively are finding a way to neutralize him. And obviously they're not winning up front. You have an offensive line that's not built like the Cowboys' offensive line. That's not built like the Steelers' offensive line. So when they got to get tough yards, and this was happening, go back to that halfback pass that Tyreek Hill threw. To me, that was like, you can't call a better play in that situation. You can't run the ball in the end zone there. And I think teams look at those things and say, this team is soft. This team is not strong enough to deal with us up front.
Is that because this offensive line, they just don't have physical enough guys, or is it because of the mindset of the way that they play?
I think it's both. I mean, I think that they've – I mean, none of those guys up there are maulers, you know. I mean, you don't have like
– Yeah, Mitchell Schwartz, like usually the old stereotype was that the right side of your offensive line was what you ran behind, right? And then the left side was your pass protection guys.
Yeah.
And so usually you have that right tackle with this big mauler.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not Mitchell Schwartz is really good pass protector, but he's not exactly a mauler.
It's not, but it's very harsh to say they're soft. I think they are finesse. I think they're built to run screens. I think they're built to run more movement plays. They're not built to like line up and run powers. That's not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think teams recognize that, but it's always been a problem in the A-gap for this team. I mean, again, you go back to the games they were winning early on. We were seeing Philadelphia dominate the middle of the offensive line. We were seeing the Chargers do that. We were seeing the Eagles do that. I mean, the Redskins do that. It's just more of these things that have been happening are becoming bigger issues. Now, do I think the Giants are going to do that? Or, you know, maybe the Dolphins, well, they got Ndamukong Suh. I mean, there's some teams out there now you look at and you say, well, maybe it's not going to be that easy of a road. But, again, I think it's more so that the Chiefs have gotten – teams have adjusted to them. And they haven't adjusted to what teams are doing. That's what I'm seeing.
And look, even though they've lost three of the last four, they're still going to win the division. And so they're going to, at the very least, they're going to get a home game in the playoffs in the first round and then have to play at New England or Pittsburgh. Can this team win in the divisional round?
They're not paying Pittsburgh. You know, I think that's probably their best case scenario is that Pittsburgh's on the other side of the bracket, and they have to play New England.
Can they be New England now?
I think so. I think as much as people didn't like the fact that Chris Collinsworth was, you know, bemoaning the New England Patriots defense in that first game, fact is that that defense was pretty bad looking at what's happened since then. That's probably the worst defense they faced, even with the Raiders. You know, the way they were playing then. I mean, they had no answers. At least the Raiders had some answers. For the Chiefs at certain points of that game. But, no, I think that there's a lot of football left. There's 2 months of football left. There's a lot of room to make improvements, to make changes, to make adjustments, to look at what you're doing. I don't think it's, again, the end of the world. But I do think that if you're going to be a finesse team, embrace being a finesse team. You know, do more things that allow your stars to shine. This is the same problem they had last year. Their stars weren't showing up in the biggest games. Take away the New England game, the Pittsburgh game, this game where you had to have, you know, great plays made. You know, you haven't seen Kelsey. You've seen Kelsey a little bit. You haven't seen Hill. You haven't seen Kareem Hunt at all. And I don't even understand. I understand Sharkhandrick West is good in the passing game, but it bothers me sometimes when they're running hurry up offense and he's in the game and Kareem Hunt isn't.
I was asking the coaches about that yesterday. I asked Brad Childress about it. I asked Andy Reid about it because Kareem Hunt only played 53% of the snaps.
Yeah.
You wonder if some of it is they're trying to nurse him through, maybe if he's a little banged up.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, though, it's clearly a package thing.
Yeah.
When it's obvious passing downs, when it's hurry up, they have Sharkhandrick West in there.
Yeah.
And obviously, he's really good in pass protection, even though he's a little guy. He seems to always identify who to pick up.
Yeah. But again, you talk about the packages, and I get that on defense and offense they have them. I guess, and I'm not I can't be a fan. Like I just try to watch it neutrally. But I think about when I see other teams doing, and I feel like God, I see Demetrius Harris on the field way too often in critical situations.
They love that three tight end set, man.
Why is the ball going to Ross Travis on the third down play?
Oh, they love that three tight end.
Like
set.
I just don't. I don't get it. You know, okay, they're serviceable players. They play roles. But But why are they being dialed up in those situations? First and 10, fine. Let's get in the ball. You know, second and 8, whatever. Let's throw them 3-yard passes. Third and 9, got to make a play, and that's who you're going to? 88? Doesn't make sense. And again, and that's partially coaches falling in love with all week long. We saw this look. We can get this guy on this in this situation. They're going to give us this opportunity, and you're not looking at your personnel. You're not saying, is this guy going to catch the football for us? Is he going to make a play for us? Because to me right now, in these games, in these situations, again, Terrence Williams notwithstanding, that was a great matchup for the Cowboys. They were handing the ball to 21. They were throwing the ball to 88. You know, they took 82 away. But for the most part, their stars were making plays. They were going to their stars. That's what the Steelers game. 3rd and 4, we got to make a play. We're running a real route for Antonio Brown. Looked pretty simple to me.
Well, when Alex Smith threw his first interception the entire year, that was on a 4th down play where they had to have a 1st down, and they tried to throw it to Travis Kelce, and there were 2 defenders all over him. Yeah. That's why he got picked off. Yeah,
but the first 3 plays, I forget what the calls were, but it was sort of like you put yourself in that situation, right? You had no plays to be able to get to a situation on 4th down that was manageable. I mean, that was essentially like a Hail Mary, like, okay, we got to do something here.
But, I mean, around the end zone, Cole Beasley twice, and then one time it's like the Chiefs' defense – were just stunned that Dak Prescott could run.
Yeah.
I mean, just didn't even account for him.
Yeah. Yeah, they did nothing up front in that game. I mean, I know that...
The Chiefs defensive
front. I know that they held Ezekiel Elliott to under 100 yards, but it just felt like, you know, they were doing whatever they wanted to. There was no pressure.
They couldn't get off the field on 3rd down. I mean, you know...
3rd down.
Yeah, that you can stop Ezekiel Elliott 1 or 2 plays here or there, but then if they convert the 3rd down and get a new set of downs, it doesn't do you any good.
Yeah, yeah. And so I guess, look, they have to heal up a little bit more, but I think they're getting a lot of players back. I mean, Duvernay-Tardif played in that game, right?
Right.
So, I mean,
seemed rusty.
Yeah. But I will say this. If this team doesn't go far in the playoffs, it's not going to be the players' fault. It's going to be the coaches'. This one's going to be on Andy Reid and his
really?
Staff. Yeah, I would say that right now because the problems that I've seen are more about adjusting than about the people you have on the field. Now you either decide, okay, my players are good enough and we're going to go with these schemes, or you say my players aren't good enough and we're not going. Dallas Cowboys, they realize, all right, we've been getting hurt in the past here. We play a lot of zone. Not giving up big plays. Pretty good job of defending a pretty good offense. You know, I just don't know why the Chiefs don't make those kind of changes. Because there are no quick fixes anymore. Tom Bahali is not going to put on a cape and get out there with tights on and be Superman. You know, it's not happening. You know, Derek Johnson is not going to be 21 again. It's not happening.
You know what pissed me off? Number one, and I don't think they didn't have any chance at Navarro Bowman. He wanted to go to the Raiders. He even said that. But so, we're sitting there, talking about how could the Chiefs help their pass rush? What could they do? Mm-hmm. And I want to say, maybe it was 2 weeks ago, and you said, why don't you sign Dwight Freeney? He's sitting around waiting, doing nothing.
Yeah.
And then the Seahawks sign him. Did you see how good he looked?
I didn't see the game, no. He looked pretty good?
Yes, yeah. He did. Mm-hmm. He did look very good, mm-hmm. Especially for a guy that they just signed because they're in desperate need of some help.
Yeah.
I can tell you this. I saw more quarterback pressure from him in the 4th quarter, even they lost, of that game against the Redskins than I've seen from really any Chiefs player over the last 2 or 3 games.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the truth. And he was in the backfield a couple of times on one big pass play that Cousins did complete. I mean, Freeman was all over him and was a second away from it, but, you know, and nailed him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like...
He had 2 sacks and 2 quarterback hits in the game.
And I'm watching, like... We can sit here all over the scheme and blah, 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 and everything else. Mm-hmm. How about just signing him on 3rd down and go get the quarterback since nobody else can? Is that naive?
Nah,
I mean, you're the one that brought it up.
I agree with
the
you.
Seed, and then I'm watching this damn game, and they go... And then the announcer crew and that Redskins game, because it was a great finish. Like, can you believe how good Dwight Freeney looks? Just signing him off the street. He was with no team. It looks like the Seahawks are really
falling into something here. I'm like, ah!
And then 2 straight years.
He's got 3 sacks in 2 games.
Yeah. Did it for the Falcons, did it for the Cardinals.
But he brought it up. 7 years old. That's amazing.
But he brought it up when he was still a free agent. Mm-hmm. Because we were talking about the thing. What could they do? Mm-hmm. Could they trade for someone? Who's out there? El Chidea here in Kansas City. Ah, Chidea's out there. Maybe they should not have him. I'm sorry. And so, of course, I'm watching that game, and it looks like Dwight Freeney from 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, he just can't, no one blocking him is running all over the field.
Yeah. No, it's, look, it is what it is now, right? Like, that moment has passed, that opportunity has come and gone. And I don't mean to diminish anybody they've drafted so far. I like Mahomes. I like, you know, the kid from Villanova. I'm sure he's got a bright future. But, again, a lot of picks spent on the future in the draft. And right now, if I said if they're going to next year's draft, it's going to be corner, it's going to be pass rusher, it's going to be inside linebacker and safety. Because they don't have a lot of depth at those. It was supposed to be all this depth. This roster was supposed to be 53-man roster, best 53-man roster in the league. And right now it's like they are like – literally scrounging around looking for players to play. Every time I see Frank Zampa out there, I'm like, my God, this is.
Well, you know, we can talk about.
And that's why I'm glad Tom is back. I know he can't play full time, whatever. But when he was out there, he looked all right. Mm-hmm. And it's just there's not a really high bar.
No.
From that spot that he plays, of what he has to surpass to be an upgrade, because mm-hmm. you're getting nothing really.
Well, there's a difference between ignoring a position, or set, you know. Addressing a position or attempting to address a position and not being successful with it.
Yeah.
So we can talk about that. There's been a lot of draft picks spent on a lot of different players right now that are not performing at the level that they need to if this team's going to get where they want to go.
We've got Jeff Chidea from NFL Network and NFL.com in studio back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us.
That's an appropriate
Stephen
lyric.
St. John, that's right. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jeff Chidea in studio from NFL Network and NFL.com.
Situation is serious. We're running out of time.
So the Chiefs go to the bye week, and they need it, and they're good coming out of the bye week, and then they'll face a team that is in disarray in the New York Giants. And look, we've mentioned this several times. Everyone knows that the second half of the schedule is a lot easier. At the Giants, home against the Bills, at the Jets, home against the Raiders, home against the Chargers, home against the Dolphins, at the Broncos. Look, it would not be stunning to see this team win out, or at least win all of them but one. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they could lay an egg at the Jets. They did lose to the Raiders once. It's always possible they could lose to them again. But, you know, I don't see them losing at the Giants or the home against the Bills or the Chargers or the Dolphins. At the Broncos likely will be out of it by then. They look like they're done after letting Philadelphia have their way with them. But it's not about the regular season for the Chiefs, for Andy Reid. For Alex Smith, it's about can you take the next step, and that's to the NFC or the AFC Championship game. And so let's say they win all of these games. I don't think Pittsburgh is going to lose more than one because they have a similar second-half schedule. The toughest game is they are going to play at home against New England, and that could be huge for the Chiefs as well. So if the Chiefs can turn things around, but that's the whole thing, though. Are we going to know if they turn things around based on the schedule? Are we really going to know?
Well,
because it could be the same team and they could win all those games,
yeah.
But we won't even know. And that's what I'm kind of caught in between here. They could win out, but we still won't know if they fixed the problems that have plagued them against better teams, against good teams. What happened against the Steelers? What happened against the Raiders? What happened against the Cowboys? We're really not going to know until the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, and that's It's often that way. You don't really know how good a team is until they get to the end of the year and they're into the postseason. They will be in the postseason. We can all assume.
Oh, they're going to win the division because there's no chance. They're going to be favorites in every single game.
Yeah. And one of the things that there's two things that are really good about this that I see as upsides. One is that you have to do some soul searching right now if you're Andy Reid and those coaches and the players. You have to look at yourself and say, okay, 5-0 was a long time ago. You know, we've lost three of our last four games against really good teams, teams that could be in the playoffs. You know, what are we doing wrong here? We got to fix it. Whatever we've been doing, whatever we tried, it's time for new ideas. Let's go back to the drawing board, look at what's worked. And so that gives me hope that you have time to actually, you know, during the season, you don't have as much time to do that from week to week. But with a bye week, you can sit back there and really dissect it and see how are we using these players? Who needs to be in there? What can we do better? Like, all those questions can get asked right now. The second thing to remember is that a lot of teams in recent memory have looked bad at different points and have gone on to do pretty well for themselves. The Denver Broncos, when they won the Super Bowl, almost didn't make the playoffs. They were struggling. You know, the Atlanta Falcons last year had a stretch when the Chiefs beat them where they were looking pretty rough, and Dan Quinn, their head coach, decided he was going to start calling plays, calling defensive plays. Made an adjustment. I'm taking over this. the Patriots were struggling at one point last year. I saw them lose to Seattle at home, and people were talking about their defense really struggling without Chandler Jones and Jamie Collins being dealt. So, you know, I think part of being a championship caliber team is having to go through tough times. You know, no, very rarely do you see teams do what Carolina did a couple years ago, 15-1, or, you know, just rolling through everybody. So that's a good thing for this team. Now, the question is, to your point, will they actually look at themselves in the mirror and say, let's start doing things differently? Because I do think there are no great teams in the league right now. This is as wide open as the NFL's mm-hmm. ever been. You can't just sit there and say, okay, well, it's going to be New England or Pittsburgh or whoever. It's Denver when they were good. It's wide open. So everybody has flaws. The question is, how do you cover up your flaws and how do you play to your strengths? And one of the things that baffles me about the Chiefs right now is either they've forgotten what their strengths are or they're not playing to them in a way that's consistent enough to keep winning football games.
The track record of this coaching staff is that they'll make some adjustments, that they will get the – I mean, remember 2015, they had, what, five losses in a row? Mm-hmm. And then they didn't lose a game the rest of the year. You know, they – this coaching staff, this core group of players is at a track record of winning double-digit games every year. Now, like Steven said, the biggest concern is there also is a track record of a lack of playoff success. So people – are more concerned about that. But I think first things first, they got to get back on the right track now and start winning games. They couldn't possibly have a better setup. Having a bye week, Andy Reid crushes it after bye weeks, team gets a chance to get healthy and address those things, and then they play a team that has quit on their head coach.
That's the problem. They don't even have to make any adjustments.
For
that game, for the second half of the year.
Yeah.
Because they will still win the division and end up in the playoffs. Playing the way they're playing right now because the schedule is so easy in the second half.
It's fool's gold. You know, two things I would love to see, and I said one thing about the defense is, you know, whether it's getting a farther away from man coverage, you know, being as aggressive and hoping the pass rush gets there. I think that you can do some things, you know, maybe it's blitzing more. You know, maybe it's doing things that allow, you know, you're not just relying on Tom Bahali or Justin Houston or D Ford to make a play for you. Maybe you have to bring more guys, you know, if you want to create pressure. But if you're not going to do that, then playing more conservatively on the back end. But second thing, and I've said this before, I would love to see this team play more up-tempo. I would love to see them be more hurry up throughout the course of the game. Because I think when they're in those situations, I think Alex plays differently. I think he plays more instinctively. I think that they create more matchup problems for the defense because the defense can't sub as much as they would like to. I mean, I would love to see that part, a package that involves that, to play around with that. Because when they do that, it seems like they – the thing about that game, again, that got me was not just the energy part of it, but just like, God, when they huddle up and they're waiting for the plays and they're getting like – it's just it takes so long. And it just feels like they don't get into a rhythm. Like, they're not in a rhythm right now offensively. And maybe being up-tempo would help that.
It's crazy how, you know, like you can see, and we've had Lewis Riddick talk about this sometimes, about how when Andy Reid gets in a rhythm on play calls, you can see it in a game. Like the game against the Patriots, where it's just like every call he dials up works, and the plays are coming in quick, and it's just working. And then when they're in a game where he's not in a rhythm, you can just, it's like a pitcher that can't find his fastball, and he's like stepping off the rubber, and he's walking around the mound, and he's, you know, there's mound visits and all this stuff. That's kind of how it seemed the last couple of games.
Yeah, and it's like, and I say that because, you know, selfishly, And I hate to pick on Demetrius Harris and Ross Travis and Anthony Thomas. Those guys shouldn't be on the field as much as they are. They shouldn't be as big a part of the offense as they are. You know, they're great when they do something. You know, again, 5-yard catch here, 7-yard catch there. But it's like
drop touchdown pass here by Demetrius Harris.
Do you think Kareem Hunt should have more than 9 carries in the game?
Yes. Yes. And again, I think, look, I'm just playing, you know, armchair quarterback right now. Like, I respect what those guys have to do over there at Arrowhead as far as game planning, so I don't make it seem like I've got, like, all the answers, because I don't. But I do feel like when I watch the Patriots go up-tempo, they put so much pressure on defenses. And I think that when you have Tyreek Hill and you have Travis Kelce and you have Kareem Hunt, whoever else is playing, it's like, you know, I think just allowing them to get into a rhythm. I think they get so out of rhythm when they start trying to go to guys who were second-tier, third-tier parts of their offense. And a lot of that's just like, hey, we're going to scheme this up, and we've been working on this in practice, and it's going to break open, like the halfback pass. You don't have to do that.
That was ridiculous.
You know? But that's something you put in, like you've been working on and waiting to throw out there, and it's just like, what was the point of that?
And I'll say this, we'll break. Any time you're getting the football into the hands of someone other than Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, or Tyreek Hill, you're doing the defense a favor.
Yeah.
Great. They'll all sign up for that.
Mm-hmm.
You have three outstanding go-to players, and if you ignore them, if you don't force the ball into them, you're doing the opposing defenses a favor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, again, Kareem Hunt is a good receiver. We saw that in week one.
I think he's been underutilized as a receiver.
Where was that? Like, and it goes back to, why does Sharkander West have to be part of that package, that hurry-up package? Why can't Kareem Hunt be part of that? Or why can't you get him in to the passing game earlier?
Unless they just can't. Feel like they can't trust him in pass protection.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the stats right now, but I remember when they were 5-0, like they were averaging like 10 yards a pop on first down. I guarantee you, it's probably like 2 yards right now. That's what it feels like.
We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. The excitement through the roof right now as I look up and see the Nature Boy Ric Flair right now on ESPN as tonight. The 30 for 30 Nature Boy, all about Ric Flair, premieres on ESPN at 9:00.
And every time I see the old lady, I'm going to kiss her on those moist, wet lips.
Woo! Baby champ!
That's going to be fantastic. Can't wait.
Still in the Chiefs celebration over there. Yeah, Travis Kelce, good morning football.
I'm sorry, but
potato sack?
They lost. Who cares? You know? I mean, I get it. It was great. It was fun, but they lost. Who cares?
Two highlights of the week. They got the play of the week and the celebration of the week.
And I don't care about either one of them because they
positive.
Lost.
Think positive.
Not they
brother.
Lost. No.
What's positive out of that?
About the potato sack race?
Yeah.
Shows creativity.
Yeah.
It's entertaining.
It helps them win games.
I wish they would have showed me another touchdown.
But we like Travis Kelce because
I do
he's
like
fun
Travis Kelce, but I'm just like, you know, I'd rather be them talking about, oh, how about that big win?
Well, sure.
It'd be great. You know, it's awesome.
You can't have everything, Steven.
Right.
Yeah,
I'd rather have the win.
You can have everything.
You think wins are more important?
Yes, I do.
You watch too much Dwight Freeney.
I did watch too much Dwight Freeney. It irritated the hell out of me.
That's right.
And I just feel
you're
like
an a-hole.
Right now, I need a bye week.
Because
now
a-hole.
I feel like this team is just headed right to a brick wall known as the divisional round of the playoffs.
You know, I just...
Look,
I'm saying this to myself as much as I'm saying it to you, Steven, because I'm trying to remember this. But, you know, life is about the journey. We got to enjoy the journey.
Not anymore.
Nope. Yeah, I'm with Steven.
I've been on too many journeys.
You want some guarantees, huh?
The playoffs will get here when they get
here. I want
to buy. We got seven more games to get through before then, so we might as well enjoy these seven games. And hope that they got to win the game. They got to take care of business to get that bye.
If I know that, like, in 3 hours, you're going to kick me right in the nuts, I'm going to think about that. And I'm not going to look forward to that. And I'm going to be mad for the next 3 hours because I know it's coming.
Yeah, but you're gonna,
and I don't want you to. I'm not going to.
You're going to miss out on all kinds of great things that could happen over the next 3 hours. What if an entire...
That stunning victory over Buffalo that'll have me celebrating in the streets?
What if, like, a big plate of Taco John's is sitting right in front of you and you get to eat that?
It's fine.
You know, but you're not going to enjoy the tacos because you're thinking about getting kicked in the nuts, man.
I don't think the Chiefs should get a free pass anymore.
Not where you are. What was it, Yoda?
I think we're just too. The Royals have taught us you don't have to just be happy with mediocrity or happy with making the postseason. It's okay to expect a championship, especially with the Chiefs. I feel bad damning this regime for the sins of the past, but sorry, I've gone through this year after year after year after decade after decade, and so I'm not going to be thrilled getting to the divisional round and losing. I'm not going to be
too early.
But I see those warning signs of that happening.
Injuries happen.
So I can't help it. I mean, okay, well,
teams
I can sit there
adjust,
and wait for everyone to get hurt.
If you go out there and, you know, Tom Brady's, you know, banged up on the sidelines like Aaron Rodgers is, or Ben Roethlisberger's hurt, or Le'Veon Bell's got a knee injury, you never know. Weren't the Chiefs like, they didn't win the division last year and get that bye until the last week, right?
Yeah,
They lost the game right before.
Derek Carr got hurt,
right?
And they won.
There you go. Look at that.
Right. And then they got a home
look
playoff
at that.
Game.
I remember we were sitting here lamenting the like they were going to blow it. Yeah.
You know?
I think that they will end up being 12-4.
Right. I agree.
Possibly 13-3 if things go right there.
And they're the division champs. I'm not
they
debating
think
that 13-3,
they got a good chance at home field throughout because
that'll solve it.
If they win out and the Patriots beat the Steelers, then the Chiefs have the tiebreaker.
But see, that doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Well, I know.
That guarantees nothing. In fact, I think I'd rather them play on the road. I really would.
Let's say this. If they had been...
What makes you want them to play at Arrowhead again in the division
round? First of all, I get a chance to go to the game.
If they're playing New England, it's a good deal, right?
I mean, they lost...
I'd rather them play on the road.
They lost at New England the year before, and our idea at that time was, well, if they had that game at home, maybe they could have won it. You know, and then last year they lost to the Steelers.
When is the last time they won a home playoff game? Will you tell me that?
Well, it was that Steelers game in 94, wasn't
right.
it?
1994.
That's exactly right.
I couldn't even drive an automobile.
And so I just can't stand for anyone to say, well, if they give the game at home, that means nothing.
Well, I mean.
It means less than nothing.
So what would make you feel good?
It means something. I mean, I feel like it gives
what does
them
it mean?
A slightly better chance to win. I mean,
how can you say that?
Well, because I'd say Vegas would probably say it. You know, Vegas would probably say it swings at 3 points in the favor of the home team usually is what they say.
Do you think they'd be favored over the Pittsburgh Steelers at Arrowhead?
I didn't say it would make them the favorite, or but New it would England? Give them a slight... Would you rather play the Steelers? You would really rather play
probably.
The Steelers in Pittsburgh?
You don't want that.
Look,
at least
I'm not
you got
saying
them here.
Again, it doesn't guarantee
okay,
anything.
You know what? I'll bury my head in the sand, and they will serve me a big plate of crap, and I'll tell them how delicious it tastes. Why are you satisfied with mediocrity?
I'm not.
Look at this team. They've lost three of the last four, and we're saying, just ignore that. They're going to go to the Super Bowl. They're playing poorly, and I think we should expect more from this football team.
Let's say if that team is completely healthy, even without Eric Berry, if they lose Eric Berry and they're playing the Raiders or even Dallas, if they were playing the way they were playing when they were 5-0 and they were healthy, would you feel good about this team right now? Would they have won those
against
games?
Against
the Raiders. The Raiders game to me is the important one because that was on a short week, going to the West Coast. If they're 2-2 right now instead of 1-3 over the last four games, are you feeling good about this team?
I mean, sure. If they would have beat the Raiders,
Raiders game was a wild game. It's like,
hey, look, Steven, I'm not.
I think it's more about how
you on
playing.
Any of this. I think they should play better. I'm not happy with the way they played over the last three or four games. I'm extremely worried that they're going to lose in the playoffs again, like they have. All those things being said, I don't disagree with any of what you're saying. I'm just saying that. I guess maybe I just want to believe that these next seven games do matter.
Well, I want to believe too. I want to believe they go to the Super Bowl. I want to believe all of that.
It's a long way off.
You know?
If they go 6-1 over the next seven games, are you going to feel good about them?
We'll feel better.
Well, sure.
Well, I think it also
a pretty good chance they'll do that.
So what does that look like, too?
What the hell does that accomplish?
Are they stopping anybody?
That means they're 6-1.
But I mean, so if they beat Buffalo and these teams, these subpar teams, I'm supposed to feel better about that?
Yeah.
We've been through that.
The past is the past. This team can't control anything that's happened in the past. All they can do is put themselves in the best position
they can,
possible.
Because this team lost to Pittsburgh. They can control by making adjustments that they're not making because they got beat by Pittsburgh again at Arrowhead.
Right. Well, let's wait 2 weeks and see what happens.
All they can do is put themselves in the best position possible to try to make a run. That's all they can do. They can't fix any of the losses in the past. So the best position possible is to try to get home field advantage and get a first-round bye. Doesn't mean that they're going to make it.
What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Well, you got to do it. I mean, that's the way it works, right? They can't change the route.
Not try to get home field advantage.
You got
to
go through Pittsburgh. You got to go through England.
Make the necessary adjustments that they don't make.
Well, then we got to see him play again.
Why are you expecting Bob Sutton all of a sudden, in the fifth year on the bye week, like, oh, now I'm going to make the adjustment. Now.
We're going to go zone.
I've been waiting for 5 years.
We're going
now
zone.
Now I'm going to switch things up.
Why are we going zone?
Tell me, what happened? What happened? Did Bob Sutton appear at the press conference? Hey, Bob, I'm going to make adjustments this week. Finally. I've heard enough. I heard you guys talking about the morning show. I'm making adjustments. I mean, it's like he just didn't get hired. You spent the whole hour telling me about how they don't throw to the right guy in the red zone and they're unwilling to make adjustments. And now in the final 5 minutes, you're telling me, oh, come on, get on board.
Maybe Clark Hunt walks in and says, you know, it's Bob, it's the door or change it
maybe
up.
Maybe Clark Hunt walks in and says, what's attendance? Because that's all I care about.
I don't know. I saw him after that Cowboys game. He looked pretty upset. He looked pretty.
Well, good. I hope so.
He looked hot.
The Clarks?
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Dwayne Bowe.
And guess what? And if I sound negative, no. I just expect more from this football team. And if they do the same thing they did last year, it's not a success.
You sound like a Chiefs fan. Not negative.
They have to do better.
Stop watching Dwight Freeney.
They have to get to the championship game. That's all. And I'm not. And as a Chiefs fan, you should not settle for less. Everyone have a great day on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I talked to the Clarks.